The gunshot wound in Warner's arm throbs with each heartbeat, a constant reminder of his failure. Lieutenant DeLaliu hovers nervously, confirming what he already knows. Recovery will take weeks. For a man whose existence revolves around absolute control, this physical limitation is unbearable. But the bullet hole pales compared to the psychological wound. Juliet is gone, escaped with Adam Kent, a soldier Warner had personally selected and trusted. As he struggles to bathe despite the searing pain, memories flood back unbidden. Juliet's terror-filled eyes when she looked at him, her genuine smile when she was with Kent. The humiliation burns through him, more potent than any physical discomfort. "I wanted far more than her body," he admits in the solitude of his quarters. He had wanted her understanding, her acceptance, perhaps even her love. When these thoughts become too overwhelming, he mentally constructs white walls to block them out, pristine and impenetrable in his mind, his last refuge when reality becomes too harsh to bear. Warner's meticulous nature has always been his anchor. Regular showers at precise times, 6 carefully portioned daily meals, 2 hours of exercise. Now this routine, his foundation for maintaining control, has been completely disrupted. Each failed attempt to button his shirt with his injured arm becomes a poignant metaphor for his powerlessness in a situation spiraling beyond his grasp. Warner stares at the hole in the reinforced steel door, amazed by Juliet's power. The jagged edges appear clawed through by an animal, yet he sees her as a soft, deadly creature with powers beyond her understanding. He recalls testing her abilities using a child as bait. Though she exceeded expectations, she escaped before he could discuss results. "It's my fault she's gone," he admits, acknowledging how she disrupted his vigilance. Warner can't understand what Juliet saw in Adam, dismissing him as a robotic, unfeeling idiot and merely a tool for escape. He believes there's no place for her among common people who will never understand her, reflecting his own isolation. When confronting DeLaliu about alerting neighboring sectors, his fury reveals genuine concern. He's not just losing a military asset, he's terrified for her safety. This fear, combined with his physical weakness, shows a man crippled by a girl in just 2 days, exposing vulnerability in Sector 45's supposedly cold leader. Confined to his bed with restraints after collapsing from infection, Warner's fever dreams expose his deepest fears. Juliet appears, and when she touches his injured arm, the pain is excruciating. Yet he remains transfixed by her presence and the green dress highlighting her eyes. The dream darkens as Juliet digs her fingers into his wound. When she asks if he still loves her, he confirms he does. Her sweet smile before twisting his shoulder until he screams reveals his masochistic obsession. He welcomes pain for connection with her. These nightmares expose Warner's vulnerability that his waking self conceals. As he begs her not to leave, we glimpse the desperate man beneath the ruthless commander. When Warner's father appears at his bedside, nightmare becomes reality. Their interaction reveals another layer, the abused son who learned cruelty from a master. His father mocks his weakness and casually mentions killing a family, illuminating the source of Warner's damaged psyche. "Well, isn't this embarrassing? My son, tied down like an animal." These cutting words reveal Warner's relationship with his father, built on fear and cruelty. His father boasts about correcting Warner's mistake by executing a traitor's entire family, a wife and 3 children, guilty only by association. This casual description of atrocity illuminates the brutal world Warner was raised in. When Warner whispers, "Get out," his father mocks him as a meek, pathetic fool, suggesting years of abuse that shaped Warner's character. He's been taught that mercy is weakness and compassion a liability. Yet Warner has developed his own moral code. He executed Private Fletcher for abusing his family, not from duty, but because it seemed kinder than tearing him apart by hand. When his father threatens to kill Juliet and questions Warner's fascination with her, Warner's facade cracks. Would you be disappointed because you'd lost your pet project, or devastated because you'd lost the girl you love? The discovery of Juliet's asylum notebook marks a turning point in Warner's understanding of her. He handles this repository of her vulnerable thoughts with reverence, having been fascinated by her long before she arrived on base, watching footage of her sitting motionless for hours, once counting to 4,572 as she measured her breaths. The journal is chaotic, writing crammed into margins and over previous entries, with numbers scattered throughout and passages violently crossed out. One entry freezes his blood. Her description of never knowing peace, of being unsafe even in her childhood home, where her mother burned her hand just to see if it would burn on her 6th birthday. Warner admits these words strike too close to home, echoing his own childhood trauma and creating an unacknowledged bridge between them. The journal becomes his most treasured possession. "I've read her words so many times, they feel like my own," he confesses. "It's strange being in her head. I feel like I know her intimately now." Warner addresses thousands of kneeling soldiers in black uniforms, Juliet's notebook pressing against his leg. He lies about his injury, claiming it happened while defectors, Adam and Kenji, abducted Juliet, unable to admit she left willingly. His father's arrival sends terror through the ranks. Warner commands them to kneel, suddenly recognizing the horrifying power he holds over these men. His father reveals that Juliet is not the only one of her kind, and that others with abilities have infiltrated Warner's troops. He orders Warner to find their hideout and destroy them. This creates a terrible conflict. Warner wants to find Juliet, but not to deliver her to execution. Instead, he plans to hide her or convince his father she's worth keeping alive. As days pass, Warner's only hope is finding her before his father does, a race with her life as the prize. Swallow the tears back often enough, and they'll start feeling like acid dripping down your throat. This confession reveals Warner's deteriorating state as he patrols daily searching for Juliet, carrying her notebook everywhere. Warner's obsession has become love. "I've fallen so hard. I've hit the ground, gone right through it," he admits. "I feel crippled, desperate, and out of control." The once controlled, meticulous leader is coming undone. His vulnerability peaks when he acknowledges, "I almost forget she still hates me, despite how hard I've fallen for her." Even his dreams offer no escape. In one, Juliet appears smiling in his bedroom, only to point a gun at his heart, reflecting their actual relationship. Warner's transformation is incomplete but undeniable. The man who once saw Juliet as a weapon now sees someone to protect, even from his father and himself. His final words, "It's almost time for war," remind us their personal struggles exist against a larger conflict with far-reaching stakes.